Hi everyone, Carrie here. I am so excited to announce that my new book, Trauma is a Catalyst, is now available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Do yourself and me a favor and order a copy today. Welcome back to Transformational Trauma and Healing. I am so glad you're here. Today's episode is a little bit different than previous episode. Today's guest isn't talking about a trauma she's experienced or caring for a loved one. Today's guest is easing the trauma of grief through recorded oral storytelling. Kara Long is an entrepreneur, writer, musician, and artist born in the little historical town of Irvington, Indiana, just east of Indianapolis. In her childhood, she experienced several losses of close family members that shaped her perspective, interests, and life. Today, Kara is the founder and owner of The Memory Collective, a recorded oral storytelling company that captures individuals telling their life story on video before those stories are lost or forgotten. In this way, kids and grandkids can stay permanently connected to their parents and grandparents, even after Alzheimer's, illness, or death. Future generations who never could have heard these stories in person can grow up watching these videos and truly know their ancestors and heritage, far beyond the limited stories that faded photos, newspaper clippings, and a list of ethnic percentages could tell. Kara firmly believes that anyone, no matter how old or young, has stories to share that are worth passing down, and that recorded oral storytelling is the fastest, easiest, and most authentic way to do so. Hi, Kara. I am so happy you're here today.
I am so happy to be here.
This is really exciting. So I'd like to start us off a little bit talking about how you got started and why you created the Memory Collective.
Sure. How I got started, I feel like it's been like a lifelong journey that I didn't know where that journey was going until basically 2019, which is when the idea kind of dropped for the Memory Collective. But essentially, I have always loved storytelling. It's always been a really, really big part of my life, big part of my family culture. Between reading books to me when I was little, my dad making up stories when I was little, like just making up fictional stories on the spot to entertain me.
Yeah.
It's a skill that I didn't really appreciate until much, much later, because I don't know how to do that.
Right. Right.
But yeah, he could do that. And he did do that routinely.
What's funny, my dad did that too.
Did he really?
He did. And my niece and nephew, so my dad used to tell stories about this character called Bigelow. And Bigelow was, my brother. And so my dad would tell stories about how Bigelow would get in trouble and all of these things. And so my niece and nephew, now every time they see my dad, they're like, can you tell us a Bigelow story before bed? So I totally get that.
Yeah, for me, my dad would tell, and you know, it's crazy. I cannot remember the names of, it was two girls that were like my age, and they would go on these like kind of camping adventures. So they were kind of a hybrid of like camping stories and ghost stories sometimes, because I loved ghost stories. But they were always just like, you know, these two girls going on an adventure at this, like, we used to go to a place called Camp Christina. And again, did not have an appreciation for how lucky I was to have that space when I was little, because Camp Christina was at one point a CYO camp down in like kind of Bloomington, Indiana, but like that area.
Okay.
And it had been decommissioned, and my dad's best friends ended up with the key to this place.
Wow.
And so it was just acres and acres and acres, like hundreds of acres of no one else there. And so you literally, it was a private campground, and we would like pull up and always put our tent on this hill where you had like an unobstructed view of the sky. And there were like whippoorwills and drink your tea birds. I think those are called like rufous-sided tohi or something like that. But they would come out in the evening and sing. And my dad would point out constellations and the birds, and we would just like enjoy nature. And it that's did awesome. Not, like, that's what I grew up with. So now like my camping experience is like, oh, there's like, you know, people right next door.
Right next door.
I can hear the other people, and it's like, oh, that's not what I grew up with at all. But I had no idea how lucky I was.
Right.
That was my only experience with it. So anyway, the two characters would, I think they, if I remember correctly, they were at Camp Christina.
Got it.
I don't know, one of the characters' names was Christina, and I don't know.
But the point makes sense.
Yeah. The point is that storytelling has just always been a really big part of my life, my upbringing. And when I lost my brother when I was 12. This was my, he's my stepbrother. He was 12 years older than me, and he drowned of all things.
Wow.
And it was, came as a massive shock to the family. We still don't really know exactly what happened, other than his heart must have stopped while he was swimming, and the rest is, you know, the trauma of that. Sure. But less than a year later, my dad got sick and went into the hospital, and they didn't know what was wrong with him. And by the time they discovered what was wrong with him, which was amyloidosis, it's a pretty rare protein disorder. It was too late. Like, it had already done too much damage to his body. And I don't think they even really, to this day, I don't think there is a cure. I don't think they've made a lot of progress on treating that disease. So I lost my brother Brian when I was 12 and my dad when I was 13. And so that definitely shaped me in a, in a really big way. My Aunt Pat, who is like my childhood hero, also got diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And I remember it as being right around the time that my dad got sick. I don't actually know if that's true. I just know that they were not, and I understand why, my family was not telling me everything that was going on, because I had just lost my brother and my dad. And Aunt Pat was like my favorite person. She was the one who like really encouraged me to write, and she taught me how to draw. And she was just so empathetic and kind and compassionate. And I learned a lot of, like, I think a lot of who I am came from her, because she was just so influential to me. So when she was sick, you know, that was another like really, really heavy blow. And also like a different, all three different ways of losing people. Right. Because you've got Brian, where it was just tragic and instant. And then my dad, where it was a, like, you kind of sense that something was wrong. And then the, you know, he was in the hospital for about 4 months. So it was a rapid progression. But with Aunt Pat, it was 9 years of watching her deteriorate. Wow. She fought stage 4 breast cancer that had metastasized to her spine. She fought that for 9 years, which is
incredible, but woman.
Yes. incredible and also heartbreaking, because you see her cognitive abilities deteriorating, her physical body deteriorating. And she just, by the end, she was not the person that I knew.
Right.
All those years ago.
Yeah. And that is so hard. I remember my grandmother had Alzheimer's, and in my mind, how I see her was the last time I saw her before she passed away. And that was not who she was. Mm-hmm. And it still bothers me But like when I picture her, that's what I picture, because she had forgotten how to eat by that point. So she was stick thin and just emaciated and looked terrible and didn't know who anyone was. And like, that makes me really upset that that's how I remember. So like, I can understand why. I understand completely what you're saying about your Aunt Pat, that like, it makes it almost more painful to have that be your memory.
Yeah, exactly. It was the same with my dad as well, because with amyloidosis, for whatever reason, it turns your hair white. And and because he went into a coma for about a week when his heart stopped, they were doing a biopsy to try and figure out what was wrong. And while he was in the biopsy, his heart stopped. Wow. And he went into a coma for about a week, and he did come out of it, but he was never really the same after that. He had to go to all kinds of physical therapy, and his heart stopped over 20 times over the next 4 months.
Wow.
And like, that in and of itself is just mind boggling, because the human heart is not designed to do that, withstand that. Right. He was a marathon runner, so we can maybe attribute it to that. Like, he just had a really strong heart, but, he was not, again, like, even within those 4 months, he was just not the person that I remembered him being. I didn't know how to communicate with him. It was really difficult to see him.
And that's a hard time of life for a kid too. I mean, middle school, that's terrible. And to have such dramatic things happen in middle school and people you count on to be gone, that, wow.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
As the weather gets warmer, I am more and more grateful for all the Skinny Tees tanks and camis I have in my closet. They are soft, comfortable, and go with everything. There is every color imaginable available, including a wide variety of skin tones. For 30% off your order, go to www.skinnytees.com and use my code TTH30. That's skinnytees.com, code TTH30.
It was a lot, for sure.
Yeah.
And it, like I said, it had a huge, huge impact on me. And, you know, it, looking back, I don't know if, you know, I blocked some of that out, which contributed to what I later experienced when I was trying to take inventory of like the stories that I did have with my brother, with my dad, with Aunt Pat. My grandma on my dad's side passed away when I was 17. And I was very close with her. She kind of helped raise me. I would see her almost every day after school.
Okay.
And so it was just kind of like back to back to back to back losses. It was when I was, you know, I think I was around 22 when this would be my mom's mom, my grandma Jo, short for Josephine. She came to live with us for a while, and she was born in Italy. And I was really curious about my heritage. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know that much about grandma's past. And so we sat down on the couch and I just asked her questions about her life, and she answered. And we had like this, it was just magical, like to be able to, one, learn about her, learn about where I came from and where mom came from and where grandma came from, learn a little bit more about my heritage. And there was like this little voice in my head as grandma was talking that was saying, you should be recording this. And another little voice came on and was like, no, I'll remember it. Like, this is important to me. Like, of course I'll remember it. I'm actively listening. I'm making core memories right now. Like, I don't need the recording. And 3 years later, when she passed away and I took inventory of like what stories I could remember, I couldn't. Like, I could remember, like, a handful of details, but we probably talked for an hour or more. And I could remember she had a goat named Opal, that she had a, like, they lived on a farm in Kentucky, and she came to the U.S. when she was, like, 3 years old. And out of the hour plus of content, what I just summarized is what I can remember. And that's,
I mean, Opal feels like something you would remember.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Especially, I love animals, so of course I gravitated to that. But I'm just going, like, that's crazy. And at that point, you know, I was 25 when she passed away. That's not me, you know, having, like, old age related memory issues.
Sure. That's just,
it's
normal human beings. Like, you can, yeah, you know, it may be in the recesses of your mind someplace, but, you know, accessing that is not quite so easy.
Right. So that's when I started to take inventory of what other memories do I not remember? And then I realized what I expected to be able to do with Brian, Dad, Aunt Pat, Grandma, I expected to just be able to list off, like, memories as if it were like a Rolodex. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't. There were some that I could, like, I definitely still have memories, but it's like, I know that I had more than what I currently have. Right. Where did the others go? Why don't I still have them? They were important to me. And so I had that realization, but I still wasn't looking at things like, this is a problem that needs to be solved, and I'm the person to do it. It was just like, well, that sucks. Like, yeah, that's not what I expected, but that's just a part of life. And I kind of moved forward. And then it was when, my husband's great uncle Al was a World War II vet.
Okay.
And he loved to tell World War II stories. He would tell them to anyone who would listen, whether they wanted to listen to him or not. He just loved to tell those stories. He was very proud, and we were very proud of him. I mean, the things that he experienced, like, listening to his stories, I learned more about World War II and now, like, have a greater appreciation for what they really did than I ever did in high school learning about World War II. And that's, like, one of the reasons that I love storytelling so much is, like, when you hear it from someone who experienced it directly, it is so much different than just reading about historical facts in a textbook.
Sure.
So much more impactful.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
This would be my husband's aunt came into town, and she was like, Kara, I've got a recorder, like, I've got a camcorder, and I've got a tripod, and I've got all the stuff, and I want to record Uncle Al's World War II stories, but I have no idea how to do that. Can you help me? And so I was like, yes, I can help you. I know how to do all that stuff. So I went over, and as a family, we just sat and listened to Uncle Al tell his World War II stories. And that's kind of when I had this realization of, like, we can just do this. Anyone could just sit down and record, like, ask questions to an elder or to anyone in the family and just record their responses. And then they're recorded forever. You don't ever have to worry about, I can only remember those three details of the hour-long conversation that I had with my grandma, or I never got to have those conversations with my dad or Aunt Pat or my grandma Florence that I lost when I was 17. Like, if a company like mine had existed and they had known about it, I'd like to think that they would have used it, and the impact that that would have on me now, like, I mean, it would be priceless to have my dad's voice. I haven't heard his voice in over 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, so that is the very long-winded answer of, you know, how and kind of why I started my company. Okay. It's to try and prevent the losses and what I realized were unnecessary losses. You can't prevent someone from passing. You can't predict how or when or the circumstances of when, like, the death.
Right.
But what you can do is like the memories, the living memory that they have that they take with them when they pass away, that is something that we actually can keep. And the impact that that can have is, it's priceless. It's something that people don't typically think about until it's too late. And so that's my job now, is to make sure that people are aware that there is a solution to that problem.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how a recorded oral storytelling project works. Like, what I know that now, I obviously know a little bit about this, right? Because I am working with you to do two projects, one with each of my parents, because upon meeting you, I was like, oh my God, I wish I had this from my grandparents. And my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, they need this from my parents. But tell us what the project entails.
Sure. So I know my business coaches wouldn't want me to say, like, I've got just like one major thing that I do. But the reality is, I want to be able to help people in as many situations as possible. I have developed a wide scale of ways to help people. What it all boils down to is recorded oral storytelling, which is actually what we're doing right now, technically. Right. You know, it just means that a person is talking, they're sharing stories or thoughts, and those thoughts and stories are being recorded. And so that is ultimately what I end up doing for people. The way that I do that is I'm going to determine, like, do you want to interview your family? Or do you, like, maybe you don't know where to start and you just need resources of how to get started. You want to do the interviewing and you don't know how to do the rest of it, but I can help you get started with those resources of doing it yourself.
Okay.
On the other end of that spectrum, if you are super busy and potentially there are certain situations where it really just depends on if the storyteller feels more comfortable talking with a family member, then I would recommend that the family member interviews them, as long as there's someone available to do that. In certain situations, it's easier for a storyteller to talk to a total stranger because there's no judgment. There's no what is my son or daughter or grandchild or whatever going to think about this story? Like, they can just tell the story,
right,
without fear or judgment or anything like that. In those cases, or just if there isn't anyone who has the time and availability or skill set to be able to do that, I can do the entire process for them. So I will just work directly, or one of my my interviewers will work with the storyteller. And essentially what we're going to do, whatever end of that spectrum that you're on, whether you're doing it yourself or you are being interviewed by someone from the Memory Collective, what we're doing is trying to help you piece together what are the impactful points of your life, the kind of the famous stories that you tell over and over whenever someone's like, you know, think of a funny story that happened, or when was a time that you were surprised by something, or like whatever it is.
Right.
But a lot of us have kind of a repertoire of stories that get told over and over.
Sure. The go-tos.
Yes, exactly. So, like, what are those? And let's list those out. And what are the topics? I've got a list of topics that I will present to the storyteller. And they can say, like, yeah, I'm interested in talking about 3 of these, or 10 of these, or all of these. And based on that, I kind of make a recommendation on how long it will probably take to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the depth and the detail, we kind of talk about that. Some people are just straight shooters and they don't talk a lot. And then there's people like me that will just jabber on for hours. But I see both as being like equally valid for a project. Like just because
sure, because it's authentic.
It's authentic. That's exactly. I'm trying to capture a person as they are.
Yeah.
And so the first stage, I would say there's kind of like three stages of any type of recorded oral storytelling project. Stage one is just identifying, like, what do you want to talk about? What are the questions that you'd like to ask, the topics? What are your go-to stories? And what do you want to reflect on, if anything? It doesn't have to be reflective, but it can be as more of like a memoir, having themes. Like, we can incorporate those things if it's important to the person.
So it's really customizable.
Yes, very customizable. Because everybody's walk of life is different and everybody's interests are different. So I don't want to pigeonhole anybody into talking about something that they don't want to talk about. I want their package to include the things that are most important to them. And if they're like me, that might include a lot
all
of things.
All
the things. But, you know, there might also be just like one story that you really want to tell. And maybe that story is only, you know, a handful of minutes long. Maybe it's an hour long. Or maybe it's like, it's so encompassing that we do have to do like kind of an extended project on it. You could do it like that. That's why I always, you know, I always want to sit down and talk with people and get a sense of what their goals are and the story that they are trying to tell, whether that's a full life story with everything that you can remember or a story about like one particular thing that had a great impact on your life. That's more of a, like a memoir style or somewhere in between.
Okay.
And then, so from there we go, like stage two is where we actually meet in sessions and you just share your story and I, or another person will listen to those stories. It gets recorded and you keep going until either you don't want to talk anymore or like budget limitations or time limitations, like whatever that looks like.
Sure.
And then the third part of that, the third stage, is then the audio and video editing and I'm basically summarizing kind of like the major points of what is talked about. So okay. That's
so like the themes,
the people that are mentioned, the places that are mentioned, the times that are mentioned, ages. And I put together a timeline and kind of like a list of relations, because if you think about it, like, you know who all of your relations are, but your kids and your grandkids and future descendants, they won't.
Right.
So that's like, I'm trying to kind of pull out the highlights from what you said, put it into a document that can be easily referenced. And then that serves as well as like a genealogical document and for an obituary, it would be a really, really great reference for when an obituary needs to be written. You just pull out that document. You don't have to listen to 16 hours of content and figure out what needs to be said. It's summarized for you there.
Got it. So how are the interviews kept and maintained for future generations?
It's all either audio or video. I do give people the option, like if they're very, very against being on video, we do not have to be on video. Okay. We can record. Well, and also there could be, for say like seniors who are at an assisted living facility 2,000 miles away from me. Like it's not cost effective for me to go out there and interview them,
right.
But I can still, if they do not have the technology like smartphone that would have video capacity, what we could do instead is just record a phone call instead. And right. I would still view that as being like massively, massively valuable to have the voice captured.
Oh, absolutely.
So audio or video recordings. And then the Memory Collective can store that collection of either audio or video files for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can also store like your photos. My goal is to have people store all of their memory artifacts, whatever those might be, in one place, so that when someone wants to go find something, it's not hunting through like, where is it on my hard drive? Where, which pin drive is it on? Right. Which cloud service is it in? How do I find it amidst all of these, you know, buried folders or whatever? I just want it to be very, very simple. Okay. And people know exactly where to go. So does that answer your question?
I think so. So let me just, so like you would edit all of the material, put it all together in this timeline and store it. And then people would get like a link or something so that they could access it.
Yep. And okay. Eventually, like I'm a solopreneur. So like, there are still more steps that I'm taking actively. So like I'm having my new site is in development right now,
right,
where people, you can already create an account with us, but we want to make it, create an interface where people can just log into their account and then they can see all of their files. They can explore it. Eventually there will be an app that will allow you to do the same thing.
Awesome.
So like what I would say to people right now, I still wouldn't wait. Like if you're thinking about doing this, I wouldn't wait because I'm going to grandfather everyone into that.
Okay.
Once that's available. Right now, we can still store it for you. It just doesn't look as pretty, but it will We have that interface built.
Sure.
I'm one person. I can only move so fast.
Totally understand that. So and you've mentioned some of this, but what are some of the different reasons that people have for wanting to keep these kinds of records? So, you know, for me, I don't want to lose information that my parents have. I want to understand their lives in a way that I haven't as their kid, right? You know, I'm their child. I may be their adult child now, but I don't really know what their life was like. All I know them is as mom and dad. And like, that's my perspective. And I feel like for me, this would open that up a little bit and make them like actual people.
Yep.
But you know, when people come to you and say, you know, I'd really like to do one of these projects, what are their reasons for it?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. Carrie here. Thanks so much for listening today. As many of you know, my new book, Trauma is a Catalyst, is available now on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. I'd love it if you would do me a favor. Buy a copy of my book, and if my story at all provides you with a spark of hope or a sense of connection, buy another copy and give it to someone who you think would benefit. Ask them to do the same. My goal is to positively impact a million or more people. You can help me do that. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of this great conversation.
Well, I mean, you already hit on a big reason. I think people want to know where they come from. You know, so much of the person that I am was influenced by the people who helped raise me, which was like all of my parents. I technically have three parents because I've got a stepdad who has been involved in. He's a second. Okay. And Aunt Pat, my grandparents. I mean, an understanding. Your grandparents can help you understand your parents, which can help you understand yourself.
Isn't that the truth?
So I think
you can see patterns, generational patterns.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, not every family situation is this perfect nuclear family and everybody, you know, eats dinner together on Sunday nights. And it's definitely not all like that. I'm very aware of that.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I also think that this can be helpful in healing generational trauma. And like it can help enlighten you about what trauma may have happened in previous generations, how that impacted the generations in between leading down to you, and potentially allow you to be like, okay, I see that and I understand where it came from. And instead of being angry about it, I have compassion for what has happened in the past, and that trauma can stop with me. I don't have to pass it down. Right. So I believe in that. I don't know. I know that some people, as I start to promote that idea more, I know that they will want, they'll come to me with that in mind, or as like a, not necessarily the primary reason, but it will be a reason.
Sure.
People might come and do work with me. I think one of the things that I also see is like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, I wish I would have found you before the Alzheimer's, before the stroke, before Parkinson's. It's like, it's not just death. It can be the death of the person as they were in their healthy. And like you talked earlier about, you know, you only have a lens of your parents through you.
Right.
Like they are actually people outside of being parents. They were, they are. And it's really difficult. It's really difficult for us to see them in any other way. Like in my mind, my, you know, elderly little white haired grandma, that I spent time with almost every day after school had always been that age.
Right.
Like she was just grandma. Like that was her, like, that was her character.
That was her thing.
Yeah. But of course she was not. And it would have been so cool to know what her life was like when she was growing up and all the things that she experienced in her 90 some years of living. That's one of the things that, that I think people come for. Like they want, very much like what you're saying, they want to know more about the people that they are close with. But how often do we, like, has anyone ever said, like, Carrie, let's sit down and have you tell your entire life story from beginning to end? Go. Like I'll get the popcorn. Just tell me everything. Like, well, how
that, like, is so do funny. That. Right. That's so funny though, because a friend of mine just said to me the other day, he's like, well, you know, nobody's ever said you weren't an oversharer. So, you know, I have a feeling that that everyone will know my life story because I'll just share it.
Yeah. Well, I'm the same way.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, I know that there are things about each of my parents. I mean, my dad especially, I know he was in Vietnam and he has shared a little bit about that, but he has not shared a whole lot, and it was incredible, at least from what I understand, it was incredibly painful, and it is painful for him to share it, but he also doesn't want to lose what was real about that. Mm-hmm. You know, and he actually has said, since we've started in on this project, he said, oh, you're giving me a reason to get all that Vietnam stuff together and figure out like what I want to do with that and how I want to remember that. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad you're thinking about this. Like, this is great. But it's interesting though, because my parents were a much harder sell than I thought they would be. Like, I thought, oh, they're going to love this. They're going to want to sit down and just talk and talk and talk.
And they even agreed to it, right?
Yes. And then when it like came down to actually starting, they kept pushing me off. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on here. Like, what? My mom's like, do we have to be on camera? And I'm like, kind of, yeah. I mean, we don't have to, but I would prefer that. And, you know, like, I don't know. It's just interesting because I didn't expect the pushback that I've gotten. I mean, it hasn't been forceful pushback, but it's been enough that I've been like, oh, you mean you're not just gung-ho about this? Like, I thought you were going to love this idea because we are going to, like, memorialize you for eternity. Like, why don't you want me to do that? So what are some of the common objections you get, and what are your suggestions for overcoming them? Because I would imagine there are people who are my age or younger even and saying, we really want to do these kinds of projects with our parents and grandparents and so that we can have this. And then the older generations are going, why?
Yeah. Okay. So I've got like so much to say on this, probably more than we have time for, but I'll just say, like, I had the same reaction that you did of just like, I don't understand. Like, why wouldn't you want to do this? And I was on a call with a mother and daughter, mother maybe in her, if I had to guess, maybe like her 60s or something, okay, like that. Daughter, maybe in her 30s. And the daughter was going like just bubbly and like so excited, so exuberant, so like thrilled to get started with this.
Right.
And I could tell that the mom's body language was like, I'm not doing this. And I attempted to kind of address, like, to just bring out, like, you know, her concerns out into the open so that we could talk about them.
Sure.
And I'll never forget it because she said, I just don't understand why anyone would care.
Interesting.
And it, like, that just, I'm sitting
That's
there.
Heartbreaking.
Like, it is heartbreaking. And, like, her daughter's right there. And her daughter's going like,
and she obviously cares.
I care. And I think that it's, well, one, I think that we have to break through. We've got to shift our mindsets a little bit. And this is one of the things that I do work with elders on, and not just elders, but anybody who's sitting there going like, either who would even care, or I don't really have any stories to tell. Either one of those two, what I'll call limiting beliefs, both of those they really just require like a little bit of a shift. So what I did with the mother and daughter, I asked the mother, I was like, so let me ask you something. Like, when you lost your grandmother, were there things, like, looking back that you didn't get a chance to ask her? Are there things that you wish you could ask her now? She was like, well, yeah, of course. And I said, like, what about being able to hear her voice again? Or being able to see her, like, on video again? Like, would you like that?
Right.
And she was like, well, yeah. And I was like, well, if she could tell you about like the everyday details of her childhood growing up, and that would have been what, like probably like, oh, I'm putting myself on the spot here, but let's just say like her childhood could have started in the very, very late 1800s or very early 1900s. Because we're talking about her grandmother.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
So, like, now like, seven, probably close to like 65, 70 year old woman and her grandmother.
Got it. Yes. Yeah. That's
about
right.
We're going back quite a ways. And like, if those little everyday details of her growing up, like, how did she get to work? Did she work? How did her parents get to work? What were her parents like? Like, those little, arguably insignificant details, maybe in someone's mind. Because it's not some epic heroic tale,
right?
You know, they're everyday details. But to us, 100 years later, they are fascinating.
Right. Right.
And so what I try to help people realize is, one, when I say stories, I don't necessarily even mean like something with an arc, something with,
right,
like character development or anything. It could just be a memory. It could be a fragment of a memory. And yeah. that is still worth sharing. But I will say everybody has a story. Like sure. you can't go through life without having a story. Like how did you begin? Where are you now? And how did you get there? Like that's your story.
Right. Exactly.
What happened in between? So for the people who say, I don't have a story or I don't have stories, one, you don't even have to worry about what you say, because that's where like my methodology, what I've created helps you figure out what you're going to say.
Right.
And you technically don't even have to do any preliminary work. You could technically come in just cold and I can
answer the questions.
Just right? answer the questions, whatever you're comfortable answering.
Right.
It's not an interrogation. You never have to answer anything that you don't want to.
Sure.
But on the other side of that, the who would care? It's like, well, like your family will care. And even if you don't have the greatest relationship with your immediate family, because I know that there are situations like that out there, like your descendants will care. They'll be fascinated by your life. Like the mundane details of your life will become absolutely fascinating to anybody listening in the future.
Yeah. So
I always try to, if you can put yourself in the situation of like, if you've lost someone, how would you feel if you could have someone else's face where you can see them talking, you can see their expressions, you can hear their voice, their tone, whether they're sarcastic or not, whether they're animated and talk with their hands. If you could see that for somebody that you love, that is what you're creating when you do a project with us, but you're doing it for someone else.
Yeah.
And maybe it requires a little bit of faith that someone else will care, but I guarantee you that they will. I mean, like I'm a total stranger and I care. So yeah. Like, of course someone else will.
Gosh, I think about if I could see any of my four grandparents again, that would be magical.
Yep.
I could hear them tell a story about their lives. Like there's so much I don't know. That would be absolutely magical. And that's what I'm trying to get my parents to understand, is that I want that information. I want to know the little details. And my kids are someday going to want to know those little details. They may not want to hear your stories now, but they're teenagers.
Right.
They don't want to hear anybody's stories except their own.
Yeah. Give them 10 years.
Exactly. So, thinking about the, why would someone care? That just, that breaks my heart.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. But it also is not, I think that is, you know, the socio-cultural expectation of, you know, particularly for women, that, you know, we're just living our lives and there's nothing remarkable about them. And reality is every life is remarkable.
Yes.
Especially to the people who love them.
There's a, I've been reading How to Tell a Story by The Moth. It's this book and it is incredible. There's a quote from it that I wrote down that says, sharing a story is an act of courage and an act of generosity.
And that makes sense.
And when you really stop to think about it, that's what I want to get through to people, is like, yes, it takes courage. Like your parents were a little bit hesitant to do this.
Right.
But like it takes courage to
dredge up.
Step up. Yep. To step up and potentially dredge up memories that you like are maybe unpleasant, but I still argue that it's good to do that. It is good to reflect, to find silver linings in those things, to see how those things positively impacted your life, and then to really celebrate the positive stories
right.
that had a big impact. But it's that second part, the like sharing a story is an act of generosity, that I think that people don't think about that. They're not looking at it like, I'm giving you a gift by sharing a story with you. They're viewing it the opposite way. Like, oh, well, I don't want to burden you with my story. I don't want to assume anything that you would care. And right. it's almost like a self-esteem issue, right. A self-worth issue.
Yeah. And again, I think that's, you know, the cultural system
yes.
in which we live.
Yep. And so I want to help people.
Let's overcome break that. Yeah.
Let's do something about that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what do you think is your biggest takeaway from doing the Memory Collective?
Can you expand on what you mean by that?
Sure. So, like, of all the things that you have learned by talking with other people, what do you think has made the most impact on you?
And there's been so much.
You know, I always ask the easy questions.
I mean, one of the things that stands out to me is that people, including myself, like I had to learn this about myself as well. Like there will always be an excuse, a valid reason to put this off. There always will be.
Mm-hmm.
Like there will never be a time when you're not busy or when, you know, like I had a client who she was interviewing her mom and I was trying to provide as much accountability as I could. But she kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Either mom wasn't quite ready or, this thing came up or, oh, she wasn't quite feeling super great that day. So we postponed it. Oh, well, we'll just wait until after the holidays or we'll just wait. We'll just wait. We'll just wait. So she did get, you know, I think it was something about like 6 hours of, stories recorded, which is amazing. I don't want to discount that. Because even having one story recorded is priceless, but like having six, she did an amazing job, but I found out that her mom passed away halfway through the project.
Oh.
And like, even as someone, like I was listening to their stories after, cause I was doing the audio visual editing after, and to leave on the cliffhanger that she left us on, I was like, oh, like I just, if I felt that way, I can only imagine the way that like future generations will feel listening to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it wasn't intentional, that like they put off the project and put it off and put it off. But, but that's one of the things that I even have to catch myself on it. I know the value of it. I'm selling this service, right. You know,
right.
But I will even catch myself. It is human nature. It seems like to procrastinate or to find reasons why, it's not quite as important as something else.
Right.
And speaking from the other side of that, I don't have the stories of my brother, my dad, Aunt Pat, my grandma Florence, my grandpa John, grandma Waller. Like, I don't have any of them.
Yeah.
And to think that, like, again, if my company had existed, like, if I had thought of it, or if someone else had thought of it, like, the treasure that I could have now and what that impact that it would have on my life right now, like I can't even, I would pay any amount of money in the world to have those things yeah. in my life right now. But people don't think about it. And it's usually a health scare, a diagnosis, or a death mm-hmm. that usually makes people think like,
oh, why didn't I have all that?
Yeah. Why didn't I do that? Yeah. So that's
so you're trying to reach people before that.
I want to reach people before that. And I want to reach people when they're much younger than you might think you should be to start doing this. As in, like, we don't need to wait until people are in their 80s and 90s to reflect on your life.
Right.
That is where I currently am helping people, because I still want to, like, those are the most at need people right now. But ultimately, what I really want is for people to start doing this earlier and earlier and earlier, because you're going to retain more of your living memory as you do this, not only earlier, but more frequently. And this becomes just kind of like a way that we document our lives for future generations and for ourselves. Because if you think about it, like if I start audio journaling now, or say like in my 40s or 50s, and then I develop Alzheimer's, I could actually use my own stories to help ground me and remind me of who I am and where I came from. And there is a lot of scientific evidence to support the idea that that can actually halt, reduce, or, you know, slow the progress of dementia.
Wow.
So it's not just even about, you know, the future generations. It's also for you.
Yeah.
Sooner that you do it, the more you can remember and reflect on your life and recall the happy memories.
Yeah. So
that's really what I want people to know.
That's so cool. So how can people get in touch with you or learn more about the Memory Collective and the different services you offer?
Sure. So definitely you can check out my site, and that's thememorycollective.co. There's a way to contact me directly from my site, I think on virtually every page. And I would just like to say, I love talking to people about, like, even if you're not going to buy anything from me, like, I just love talking to people who are interested in this. I like guiding them in a direction. I like illuminating the possibilities of, like, they might have an idea in mind and not even realize that recorded oral storytelling could be the solution that they're looking for, or you could use it in a creative way. Like, for instance, if you are an artist and you've got a lot of paintings or needlework or carvings, whatever it is, you can use recorded oral storytelling to just talk about what those are and the processes that you went through, so that those family heirlooms actually mean something more than like, well, I think, you know, my grandpa whittled this, but I don't really know anything about it. And then
that is so cool.
So there are so many.
I have to tell my artist family members.
Yeah, there are so many ways that it can be used, and so many ways you can use it to supplement photography and scrapbooking. You can start when you're little and record like your childhood memories. As you see it from your child's perspective, you could start as a new parent and document your growth as a parent and like the little things that your child is going through that you find just endearing or hilarious.
That you don't want to forget. Yeah.
So there's so many ways that this can be utilized, and it's my goal for the company to eventually reach all of these demographics. So I just want people to know, like, this is such a versatile medium. And I really think that it's the best and fastest and most authentic way to preserve your memories or someone else's memories, and do it quickly and accessibly. All of that to say, if you are hearing this and you're even remotely interested in learning more, I would just book a call with me to talk. Yeah. Not for me to sell you anything, but just to talk and see what's possible, because I've got like a million ideas. I need to better organize my site because it's probably overwhelming to people right now. But if you just talk to me, I know that I can guide you in the right direction and help you achieve your goals. Yeah. And I also have a freebie of like how to have this conversation with a loved one. So if you're thinking about doing this with your parents, grandparents, or whomever, I have a free resource for like how to have that conversation about how to do the recorded oral storytelling project.
Yeah, cool. Thank you so much, Kara. This has been so much fun. absolutely love the Memory Collective. And now I have even more ideas. So thank you.
You're welcome.
But seriously, thank you for being a part of the podcast. I so enjoyed talking to you today, and I think our audience is going to enjoy it as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to talk on here. So thank you.
Absolutely.